Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 2. If you want to stand for the reading of God's word, Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. And so the title of the message today is, What Was the Birth of Jesus? And I've got some answers to that. Amen. It was the birth of a lot of things. It was the birth of good news for mankind. It was the birth of hope. It was the birth of a Savior. It was the birth of a shepherd. It was the birth of love. A lot of things. The characters of God come in the birth of a Son. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, or before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. And I thank you, Lord God, that you sent your Son to this world, God, to redeem us from our sins. And Lord, we have hope and love and life and a future that we can look forward to because of what you did, because you came. And we love you, Lord, and I pray, God, that your word would touch our hearts, that you would minister the heart and the soul, the life of every person here today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. When a child is born in the natural, ever wonders what kind of child will this, or what kind of person will this child turn out to be? And a mother that's just mother for the first time, the first child, she might say, if I'd only known. No. Will he be like his father? Will he be like his mother, like his brother, like his sister? And so in the natural, all of those questions come to mind, but this birth of Jesus was different. You know, if it had been if our greatest need in humanity had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist or an iPad. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. And if our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, and God sent a Savior. Praise the Lord. Mary knew by the word of the Lord that this child would be different than any other. And she would be the mother. Some people say she was a mother of God. That's not a good term to use. God was the Father. She was the instrument that God chose to bring the Son through. And she knew that this Son would be born that would be different from all other births ever happened in history, because this would be the Son of God. Not just another birth, but an eternity of humanity. All the eternity of humanity hung upon the birth of this child. My present, my past, my future hangs upon who Jesus is. There can be no eternal life and no eternal hope at all without Christ, without the birth of this child. And so all history, everything hung upon this. Amen. No one would so affect society. No one would so affect speech and language and lifestyle as this one child that would be born. And no future like the birth of this child. And so his birth affects each of us and all of us personally. And I'm thankful God for the Son. The birth. What was the birth of Jesus? First of all, let's look at the fact that it was the birth of hope. Good news and hope. In verses 8 through 10 tell us that the shepherds were abiding in the field by night. Angel of the Lord stood about them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were greatly afraid. And so they needed hope. And so angelic appearances were common throughout the Bible, but when we read the Bible, we all assume that everything took place just right when we were reading it. But many of the things that happened was over a span of many years. And so there were many angelic appearances to people throughout the book, throughout the Bible, throughout history. And so we understand that this was not a common thing for shepherds to see angels all the time. It's something that God instituted at this particular time for a great purpose. And so Israel had hoped for a Messiah that would be a military deliverer, that would deliver them from Roman oppression. And this was their hope, that there would be a Messiah come, a prophesied Messiah in the Old Testament that would come and would be a military captain that would deliver them from the ruling oppressors of Israel at that time as a nation. But they didn't get their wish. They will one day. And so Jesus came for a greater reason. He will return and destroy the armies of the Antichrist and set up his kingdom here and rule and reign in righteousness for 1,000 years of peace. But that'll be after the tribulation. And so the nation of Israel did not see that this world would come through the birth of a child. And he would come to conquer sin, man's greatest enemy, and conquer death, a great enemy, and to give eternal hope. Can no hope can come without Christ. And man cannot produce hope, and certainly not eternal hope. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 19 it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Because you see, Jesus didn't just come to give us hope in this life. He didn't come to Israel just to give the people hope for that life that they lived, 70 or 80 years, however long it is. And God came to give eternal life and eternal hope. And no man can ever produce eternal hope. My people might can give you hope for a little while. They might can give you a few dollars to make it to buy some gas to make it a little further down the road. Hope you'll make it to the next gas station. There'll be a giver there too. I've dealt with this a few times. But anyway, but we know that God alone gives eternal hope. When we receive him as our Savior, I want to tell you we've got a hope that's beyond this world. Hallelujah. A wonderful hope, a glorious hope, an eternal hope. Because Jesus came, this birth was a birth of hope. Hallelujah. And true hope has to have a source. Sinful man cannot produce hope. Society cannot give hope. They claim they can, but they can't. Man's inventions may give a little bit of temporary hope. And I'm thankful for some of man's inventions. I'm glad we got lights and everything today. Chair to sit in. Amen. Heads to scratch. Amen. That wasn't necessary, was it? But eternal hope comes from God, and hope was born in Bethlehem's manger. What was the birth of Jesus? It was a birth of hope. Not only was his birth a birth of hope, but it was a birth of a shepherd. Here we find that shepherds were watching their flocks by night. Little did they know this announcement that came from angelic sources would tell them that there was another shepherd that had been born in Bethlehem. And so this would come through the kingly line of David. Verse 11, for there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this would be the birth of a shepherd. And little did these people know that a much greater shepherd was be born that day, that night in Bethlehem. A shepherd with a much greater flock than the ones that they were used to. And Jesus came not only not to shepherd sheep, but he came to bring us, and he calls us sheep sometimes because sheep have no sense of direction. They can't do anything to defend themselves. They're just sheep. And so we need a shepherd. Because there's an enemy out there that wants to destroy mankind. Amen. But there's a good shepherd that we have. And Jesus is known as three different types of shepherds in Scripture. He's known as the good shepherd in John 10 and 11, where he says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And so there was born a shepherd that day. He gives his life for the sheep. We know that Jesus even taught this. He said that the hired hand doesn't care for the sheep, but he runs when the wolf comes. Because you see, the hired shepherd is just there for a paycheck. But Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I'm not going to forsake my flock. And when they're in danger, I'm not going to turn them away. I'm going to stand up and fight and defend them. That's the kind of shepherd that you and I have today. And when the enemy would come in like a flood, I want to tell you, the Spirit of God would lift up a standard against him. And we serve a wonderful God today, a good shepherd that looks out for his people, looks out for his sheep. He's got you in mind. He's hand over you. His hand is over you. He loves you. He cares for you. He's going to guide you to that eternal home. He's the good shepherd. He's known in the New Testament also as the great, not only the good shepherd, but the great shepherd. Hebrews 13:20 says, Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And so God brought a great shepherd when he brought Christ. Not only a good shepherd, a great shepherd, because he would be superior above all other shepherds. And he was certainly superior to a natural shepherd. Not only that, but also God sent a chief shepherd when he sent Jesus. 1 Peter 5 and 4, when the chief shepherd, this is a reference to the rapture of the church. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. And so the chief shepherd is going to return. So the birth in Bethlehem was the birth of a shepherd. Praise God. And all humanity hung up on this birth. The God of all creation came to bring hope to a world destined for eternal destruction. Hope isn't earned, hope is given. And it is a hope that we base our eternity on. If you'll bear with me just a moment, I want to quote a few verses of Scripture to you in Titus chapter 2, where it says, For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And so we're looking for a blessed hope, a wonderful hope, because God is the one who gives true hope. Now, is there any hope for me now? Yes, there's hope for you now. You have hope that you have the Holy Spirit with you, walking with you, guiding and directing your step. Not everything in this life looks hopeful, but if you've got the God of hope with you, living in you, there's always hope. Praise the Lord. It's not all over. Praise God. And even David the shepherd said, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So God is with us if you're saved. If you're not, he's not with you. But you can, he can be with you. You can be saved. Praise the Lord. And so that was birth of hope. It was also, number three, it was a birth of love. And the world did not know love in the divine sense. The world has never produced divine love. It took God to do that. The world's sinful system could never produce divine love. Love had to be demonstrated, and it had to come through a person. It came through Christ. And the world's definition of love is much different than the Bible's definition of love. The world defines love in many things as, I love you if you'll do certain things for me. Or, I love you if you can make me happy. And I talked to a woman that was in the process of divorce. It's been a few years ago and in a different place, so it wasn't one of you, so don't get convicted unless you're guilty. Anyway. And she was going to get a divorce from her husband, and I asked her, and I had tried to witness to her a little bit in the past, and I asked, I said, why are you getting the divorce? She said, I don't want to live with him anymore. I said, why? She said, he didn't make me happy. And I thought, oh, you poor little thing. I didn't say that. Probably should have. I saw her a few years later working in a restaurant. Nothing wrong with that. She was waiting a table for us, and I was kind to her. I was nice to her. I don't know if she liked the sight of me very much, but anyway, we were there. She didn't look happy there either. Because you see, it takes something more than that to make you happy. It takes something besides marital love to make you. It takes God's love. Amen. And marital love is wonderful, and it can be complete, but only in Christ. Amen. And people today are looking for love in all the wrong places. I know that's the title of a song, of a sad song some time ago, and that's the only words I remember to it, and I don't intend to sing it, so don't be worried. But God's love is unconditional. Man's love comes with conditions, but God's love has no conditions. Why would God send his son here to die in our place and pay the death payment for our sins? It had to be a love beyond what mankind can produce. It had to be God's love, and he did. And he did. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says in Romans 5:5, the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given unto us. So it had took God to spread love to this world, to give real love. And in that manger that day, that baby that was born, it was a gift of love to humanity, because man could not know love without that. And God looked down and God saw beyond our failures, our sins, our faults. He saw what our need was. Some years ago, Dottie Rambo wrote a song called "He Looked Beyond My Fault and Saw My Need." And he sure did. He looked beyond mine and saw what I needed. He looked beyond you and saw what you needed. He saw your need was not just something this world could produce, not with more money or more wealth. You needed the love of God, and we must have the love of God, my friend. When we get to heaven, it'll be because God's love brought us there. We're saved, born again, and on our way to heaven because God chose to love you, for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. So, praise God. The birth of Jesus was a birth of love. And I'm glad for the love of God that we can have with us each day. The perfect love drives away fear. And you know, in the natural world, people might be scared because they're not going to be loved anymore. But God's love doesn't, God just doesn't quit loving. The Bible says that Jesus loved his own until the end, until the crucifixion. He stayed with them. And God don't quit loving people. He may not love everything people do, but then he doesn't. But he didn't quit loving you because he cares for you. And people that miss heaven leave and go to hell instead because they rejected the love of God. John 4:18 says, "Perfect love, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment," or involves torment. And because fearful things that might happen, that might come upon us. But you see, when you're born again of God's Spirit, yes, we have some sense of fear. You know, we have a fear of driving off the cliff, you know, that you're going to crash and burn. And just thank God for good sense. God gives good sense. He just expects you to use it. Me. Okay? But fear has torment because we worry about what could happen or what might happen. And what we worry about that will happen usually doesn't happen. And so we've involved ourselves in torment of fear for a while. But there's no fear in love. We don't have to fear that God's not going to love us in the end. We don't have to fear that if we come with the valley of the shadow of death, that God isn't going to be there. We don't have to fear that when we cross over to the other side, that there's not going to be another side there for us. There's going to be heaven. God has a place prepared for us. Amen. All those that fear him, and we're looking for him any day, praise God, to come. And he will come again one day. But if he doesn't, and you die in the natural in the meantime, your spirit man will depart from your body, and you'll be with Jesus immediately. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You're not going to soul sleep for 1,000 years till he comes again. I don't believe in soul sleep. I believe that the body without the spirit is dead. The body dies, but the spirit doesn't. You're born again of God's Spirit. His Spirit lives in you. The life that's in you is eternal. Thank God for that. He loved us when we were still enemies. And this love was defined by birth, life, death, resurrection of Christ. So Christ was born, it was a birth of love. It was the birth of a Savior. And Christ was a Savior. They shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus means, Savior. God is salvation. And nothing has ever threatened death, but the birth of Christ was the birth of a Savior from death, to save from death. Nothing had ever threatened death before. It always had power. death comes to all people physically. And, well, preacher, you're supposed to encourage us. I am. Just don't give up on me yet. And death comes to all physically. Appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. Also, spiritual death is added because of sin. Eternal separation from God would be an awful thing. To never hear of love, mercy, truth, or hope, or life, or there will ever be anything except eternal loneliness and rejection and eternal separation from love, mercy, peace, hope forever. That is unthinkable almost, but that's what hell will be like. No love, no mercy, no encouragement. Nobody to come up and say, hey, I've been here a long time, you're going to make it, it's going to be okay. It'll never be okay if you're separated from God forever. You don't want to go there. Christ was born, this birth in Bethlehem was so that you wouldn't have to go there. That you could always have God's love, God's hope, God's mercy, God's grace, God's kindness. My friend, we'll have an eternity of God's love and kindness and grace. We haven't even begun to see the greatness and the power of His love and His grace until we're with Him in eternity, and we'll know Him forever. We'll learn of His greatness throughout eternity, and it'll take eternity to learn of all of His greatness because He's eternal God. But the Savior, Jesus, would stare death in the face and take away its power and completely conquer death. That's what this babe would grow up to be, a Savior. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 15, it tells us about the rapture of the church there. You know, we shall all sleep as in death. We shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The trumpet shall sound. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. And it says in that same passage, when this incorruptible, this body, has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Man, that's happened when Jesus died on the cross and then He rose again from the dead. He conquered death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is taken away in Christ. The sting of death is sin. And Christ came to take away our sins. The sting of death is gone. Man. And in death, your sting is gone. And God gives us hope. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, there's hope. Praise God. There's a Savior from death because Jesus conquered death, overcame death, and rose again from the dead and has authority to give eternal life instead. Praise the Lord. Last of all, it was the birth of peace. Verse 14 of our reading, it says, the angels and the heavenly hosts were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I'm glad that peace was given by Christ, because like hope, no humanity can produce peace, not real peace. And without Christ, there is no peace concerning our eternal destiny. So what was birthed in Bethlehem's manger was the birth of peace. And Christ's work on the cross promises peace. Amen. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was chastised for our peace. And with His stripes we are healed. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the birth of peace. So let's understand, the birth of Jesus was the birth of all of this. Birth of hope, birth of a shepherd. Birth of a Savior, birth of peace. Praise God. I could go on, but I won't. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But God is so gracious and wonderful to us. And so when we realize this season we come to in Christmas, let's realize that all we have is what God has given. And it takes a simple for you and I to say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me from my sin. That's all it takes. I want to be right. I want to live right. I want to be one of your children. I want my eternity to be spent with you. Amen.